So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike the match, and... Oh!
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
Welcome to the Barbecue Central Show, the show where we talk about all things that are important in the world of barbecue. From big-name interviews with competitors on the barbecue circuit, grill manufacturers and pit makers, to advice on cooking brisket and ribs, you'll find it all right here on the Barbecue Central Show. Your host, Greg Rempe, is a backyard barbecue and grilling fanatic and loves to talk about his passion, which many of us share together. You can learn more about barbecue and grilling by visiting the website, thebbqcentral.com. Now, let's get in the smoke. Here's your program host, Greg Rempe.
Welcome to the Barbecue Central Show. Oh yeah, this is the show where we talk about all things important to the world of barbecue and grilling. Central Lights, how's your life? A jam-packed show here as we originate from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame city, dare I say it, the barbecue capital of the North Coast, Cleveland, Ohio, and a big show it is. We start our second week in a row of barbecue roundtable shows, and tonight we're going to be covering chicken, barbecued chicken, and we will be briefly doing a brief introduction here, and here's who's sitting on the panel. Before I do that, not that I'll be really taking any phone calls tonight. If you want to jot this number down for After Dark, I'll be joined by KCBS President Mike Lake. It's toll-free. I'll pay for it. 877-448-0433. 877-448-0433. Again, as stated earlier, otherwise we're going to be talking barbecue chicken roundtable. And tonight sitting on the panel, Kelly Wirtz from Four Legs Up Barbecue. He was ranked number 4 in the KCBS for chicken category in 2009. Joe Amore from Smoky Mountain Smokers will also be sitting in, ranked number 5 last year in the chicken category at KCBS. And routing out the 3-person panel, Troy Black from LearnToQ.com, ranked number 7 last year in the KCBS chicken category. So, gentlemen, certainly appreciate you guys taking time out to do a little roundtable talk with me tonight. And before we get going into the actual meat of the subject and the preparations, why don't we go around the room and see what everybody's cooking on, and we will start with Troy.
Yes, sir.
What are you cooking on, buddy?
What am I cooking on? I'm cooking on a Fast 80 100.
Is that the only cooker that you use?
That's the only cooker I use. I actually went away from that a couple of years ago to another cooker. Didn't do well with it. Went back to it. Won 4 grand championships nearly immediately. And I'll never cook contests or anything else.
There you go. How about you, Joe?
Well, I cook on 2 FEC 100s.
And Kelly,
we're cooking on a it's a pellet cooker, but it's one we build ourselves, and we also cook on a actually we do chicken on a Louisiana pellet grill.
Do you have a name for the one that you made yourself?
We're working on that one.
something that'll be hitting the market at some point.
Actually, the second one we built is Stein, because the first one was so ugly we had to call it Frank. So we had Frankenstein.
Nice. All right. So one other question. I mean, obviously for the guys that are using FEC controllers or FEC cookers, that has its own, I believe it's called IQ thermostat control system, so you don't have to worry about temperature there. But Kelly, do you use any type of automatic pin temperature control device? Or do any of you guys use remote meat thermometers? And we'll start with Kelly there first.
Yeah, we're using digital controllers in those pellet cookers as well. Much like the digitals on the FEs, same basic concept. It's monitoring temperature and adjusting pellet feed rate as it needs it to maintain whatever temperature you want to set it at. As far as, what was your other question there, Greg?
Like remote meat thermometers, like the Maverick ET73s?
We're using just your basic oven thermometer with the remote probe inside the cooker into the meat. I'm not using anything wireless remote or anything like that. It's just stuck on the side of the cooker and look at it from the inside the trailer.
What about you, Joe? Do you use any type of remote thermometer for your cooks?
No, I don't. I just use IQ4 controller on the Fast Bitty.
Troy, any remote thermometers?
Not until lately. I'm working with a new wireless setup that runs runs an application on my iPhone that gives me the remote temperatures of the pit and the meat.
A true tech geek, right?
Yeah, I am.
All right, so let's go ahead and get into the pre-cook events here. We have some other questions that might be a little unrelated to the topic, should time permit, here at the end. But we're obviously talking about chicken here tonight. So when you're prepping, and Troy, we'll start with you, what cut or what brand of chicken are you using?
You know, I don't really have a particular brand that I use. The thing I really my requirements are that it's all natural. I don't like the juiced up chicken, the enhanced chicken that's been pumped up with a saline solution or any kind of broth or anything like that. That's the one meat that I purchase locally wherever I'm competing at.
What about you, Kelly?
We're actually using Tyson thighs straight from Walmart. That's what we've had the best luck with, and part of the other thing out here where we're at, that is about my only choice. So we go with what we can get, and I pretty well know I can get Tyson's in Walmart wherever I'm headed. If I do something, screw something up, and need to go get some more, at least I'm used to what those are cooking like.
Troy, let me go back to you. Are you doing thighs when you're cooking in competition?
I'm doing thighs, and I'm also doing some drumsticks.
All right, Joe, you particular to any brand, and what kind of a cut of chicken are you cooking for comps?
Well, I use Sanderson Farms chicken thighs, all natural, that I can buy locally here in town.
And you take those wherever you go regardless?
Regardless, I actually probably buy enough chicken to do five comps. I prep my chicken here, vacuum seal it in a commercial vacuum sealer, and we package 14 thighs to a package, and we load them up and take them with us.
All right, so obviously it looks like everybody's here competing with thighs, holding Troy with some other cuts. And I would venture to say you guys have been around the competition circuit quite a bit, and I would imagine you mostly see thighs when you're competing. Troy, have you ever decided to do like breasts, for instance, just one time, or have you always used thighs during your competition?
Only when I have to cook breast. I guess the jack is the only place that we're forced to. Just the window of opportunity there is just too narrow, and I just have got the feeling that they just won't do well.
What about you, Joe? You ever messed around with anything other than thighs?
I'm like Troy. The only time I've ever used them is when I had to at the jack.
Kelly, same for you, or have you messed around a little bit?
We've messed around with some breasts before, and Joe and Troy are right. You're doing breasts. You got it. Their window is really narrow. You just got to watch them. They can dry out on you, and you. You never know what's happening in that turn-in box, especially with those. Nice thing about thighs, they stay warm. They're going to stay moist and juicy no matter how long they're going to be in the box. On the way in, what they're going to do with them in the judging room, whatever it is, you start messing with some other things. You're narrowing your window.
All right, so when you guys are looking at the chickens, whether you're allegiant to one brand or the other, when you go to your particular purveyor, are you looking for something in specific on the chicken? Is there a color? Is there a size thing? What are you exactly looking for specifically when you're buying your chicken? And we'll go back to Kelly for that.
When I'm looking for thighs, I'm looking for when I go into Walmart, I'm looking for a Tyson 10 pack, 10 or 11 pack, looking for nice skin on them, looking for somewhat uniform size or as uniform as I can dig through the case and find that way. Try to stay away from anything that's got, you know, half the package has got the skin tore up on it or rolled back, whatever it is. You don't know what you're getting into. And looking for the as nice white of skin as I can find on them.
What about you, Joe? You looking for anything in particular when you're buying your chicken thighs?
Well, what I do is if I buy a 4-pack, I want them to be, I want them to weigh about 2 pounds. Of course, if it's an 8-pack, I want it to weigh 4 pounds. That way, when I get done trimming it, well, they start off large enough. When I get done trimming them, they'll be the right size that I'm looking for.
And Troy will round out this question.
I guess I'm just looking for something not too big, not too small, nothing hairy.
Right.
Sometimes you'll see some hairy chicken. We don't want to use hairy chicken.
Judges don't like hairy chicken when they're judging the meat.
Yeah, they don't like that.
All right. So it sounds like, Joe, you're going to be cooking 14 thighs at a comp then?
Yeah, we cook 14 thighs. I mean, sometimes we'll do 16, but most of the time we just cook 14, and we're looking for six outstanding thighs to put in the box is what we're doing.
What about you, Kelly? How many are you cooking for a competition?
We're cooking 8.
And Troy?
I'm cooking 8 also.
All right, so when you're breaking these out, I mean, inevitably, it's funny because chicken is probably the most readily available and the cheapest out of all the barbecue meats that you can actually buy and probably practice with. But I've heard through a number of other people that it seems to be their Achilles heel when it comes to the competition side of things. So when you're starting to trim up the chicken, I mean, what's your process and how long does it usually take? And we'll start with Troy.
I don't do a lot of trimming. My process is pretty simple. I just rub it and put it away for the night, and goes in the cooker the next morning.
No skin cutting or anything like that.
Not really, unless it's just something way out of the norm, you know, just hanging out there.
What about you?
I hate dealing with chicken to begin with. I hate with putting my hands on it. So I spend as little time as possible with it.
What about you, Kelly?
I'm kind of like Troy. I hate having to deal with chicken, but we do it. We trim all of our chicken on Thursday night on a normal contest schedule. We'll probably run half hour to run 8-10 thighs through, sort through that pack. Really just do a little trimming on them on the sides and kind of trying to get close to a uniform size as we can. Trim the big chunks of skin off of it and kind of even that skin up all the way around it, and that's really about it.
Joe, extensive trimming process on your end? How long does it usually take you?
I don't know. For a contest, probably takes me about an hour and 15 minutes. I got a little bit more trouble than the rest of them. I usually cut one knuckle off on my thighs and try to square the thigh up so it's a nice uniform size, leave enough skin so I can actually fold it up under the thigh so when it's shrinking, it doesn't pull up on the sides. I even go as far as pulling the blood vessels out of the thigh.
Anybody brine or inject chicken prior to going on the cooker? And we'll start with Kelly.
Yeah, it all gets brined. We mix up our brine at home, and when we get to the contest, get meat inspected, and usually sometime on Friday evening. I'm not especially on chicken, not that worried about it. Sometime there Friday evening, we'll dump the brine back on that chicken in that bag and let her set until morning.
How about you, Troy?
No, I don't do any brining, no injecting, anything like that.
You're kind of out of the norm there, I think, buddy.
Yeah. No, I here's the deal. My process is not only chicken. My whole processes are very, very simple. And one of the reasons is I'm by myself, with the exception of my dog Rocco. So I've sort of simplified my processes to relax because I do this so much. I compete full time, and so every weekend out there, I'm going to spend as much time relaxing as possible. And but I've developed processes at work without doing those kind of things.
How about you, Joe? You injecting or brining?
I brine my chicken.
Have you ever toyed around with injecting?
Well, I tried it when I first started in 2005, but I didn't like it, and I went back to brining. And we usually put our chicken in brine at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, take it out at 8:30 Saturday morning.
All right, so a quick dip in the brine for you, Joe. I don't know if I should or shouldn't ask this, but why not? It's my show, so I can. Anybody use toothpicks in order to properly hold that skin in place? And we'll start with Kelly.
No toothpicks. they're again like Troy. I don't like messing with that stuff anymore, and I have to, so I ain't going to spend the time to sit there and try to pin all that stuff down. And then if you've ever heard about the multicolored chicken skin, right, when it comes in, you use colored toothpicks. But no, we don't mess with that, and it really doesn't seem to bother us.
Joe, are you picking your chicken?
No, I don't.
Troy?
Absolutely not. Do people really do that?
Well, I'm here to ask the tough questions.
I guess so.
We're talking with Troy Black, Joe Amore, and Kelly Wirtz here on the Chicken Roundtable. You guys use commercial rub or homemade rub on your chicken? We'll start with Joe.
I use my own rub that I've got commercially bottled at this point.
Troy, your own stuff, or are you using Joe's stuff?
I don't use Joe's. I use a commercial that I've doctored.
Can you tell us
the truth, Troy?
You tell us the name of the commercial brand?
No, I won't tell that.
It's not very sharing of you, Troy. I have to be up front.
No, I use an off-the-shelf product that I add a little bit of heat to, and that's about it.
What about you, Kelly?
We're using our own product. Actually, a combination of a couple of things we've put together here, and one we're just working on another one here this year that's working out pretty well for us.
All right, so after it's been dumped in the brine, if you're doing that, Troy is not, and you either have toothpicked your chicken skin or you haven't. How far in advance are you actually rubbing your chicken prior to going on the cooker? And we'll talk to Joe first on that.
What was the question again, Greg?
How far in advance are you rubbing the chicken before it goes on the cooker?
Oh, about 45 minutes before it goes on.
Troy?
Night before.
Oh, long time. And
yeah. It less work on Saturday morning.
Right, there you go. Kelly?
We're running about 2 to 3 hours. And kind of like Troy, it's just a matter of that's when it fits in the schedule. It's not that I'm really concerned whether it's 2 hours or 3 hours. That's just when it works in.
Yeah, so good range of time from 4 minutes to overnight, and then 2 to 3 hours for Kelly. Any other preparation items that you do with your chicken prior to going on the cooker that we haven't talked about? And we'll start with Troy.
No. Come straight out of the refrigerator, rub, and go straight on the cooker.
What about you, Joe?
Well, what I do is when I take my chicken out of the refrigerator and I put my rub on it, it sits for 45 minutes. At that point, when it's actually 11 o'clock is when I put my chicken on, so it goes straight from the tray to the cooker.
And Kelly, anything else you're doing to the chicken prior to going on the cooker?
No, we're just, say, pulling it out of the fridge and right on the cooker too.
All right, so that's going to wrap up this portion of the show. We're going to take our first break, guys, so just go ahead and hang back, grab a beer if you're so inclined, and talk to each other on this messenger while I do this very, very briefly. This wraps up the portion of the preparation section. We're going to get into the cook section here after we come back from break. Before we go, let me tell you about D-Dog's barbecue rubs and sauces. Look, you know you love it, right? D-Dog's barbecue rubs and sauces. But would you like to buy them locally? Well, of course you would, but you need to do Darren from D-Dogs a solid. You got to send him the name, address, and phone number of your local barbecue store, farmer's market, or grocery store. And he'll go ahead and take care of the rest, get you hooked up locally. D-A-R-I-N, Darren, at ddogsbbq.com is the email address to send that info. If you're not afraid of shipping charges, Just visit the website, ddogsbbq.com. And as we all know, D-Dogs Barbecue Rub is better than ketchup. We'll be back in about 4 minutes. Stand by.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Get in the smoke. It's the Barbecue Central Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, we are back. It is the Barbecue Central Show. Barbecue Chicken Roundtable taking place this evening. Joe Morey from Smoky Mountain Smokers, Troy Black from LearnToQ.com, and Kelly Wirtz of Four Legs Up Barbecue joining me. This portion of the show brought to you by Yoder's Smoky Mountain Barbecue, the leading online distributor of Myrtle Creek barbecue equipment. These barbecue smokers, pig roasters, and chicken cookers are handcrafted in the Amish country of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and their goal is to give you outstanding value for the price and help you enjoy easy and profitable barbecues for years to come. They also carry a complete line of wonderful rubs and sauces to choose from. You can visit them online at Sirius BBQs, that's BBQS. SiriusBBQs.com is the place to check them out. This is good folks at Yoder's Smoky Mountain Barbecue. All right, we go ahead and pick back up with the conversation. Now we have moved from preparation to the cooking section, and we'll go ahead and start with Troy with this question. What kind of wood are you using for smoke flavor?
Well, I'm using the mini logs that we put in our pellet cookers.
Right.
Apple and cherry.
Everybody all right over there? Apple and cherry. All right, Joe. Your preferred flavor for smoke wood?
I use Barbecue Delights hickory and oak pellets.
Are they a sponsor?
Mm.
You mentioned them by name, so I didn't know if that was your NASCAR thing or what. All right, Kelly.
Well, yeah, Candy does sponsor us.
Kelly, your particular favorite of wood smoke?
We're using the mini logs as well with just hickory and oak. 50-50 blend.
Hickory and oak. All right. What time are you guys putting the chicken on the cookers at Comps? And we'll start with Kelly.
It goes on the grill at 11 o'clock a.m.
Troy?
8:30.
All right. And Joe?
11 o'clock.
And so let me back up to Troy here for a second. Are you cooking at substantially lower temp? Well, you know what? That's going to be my next question. So why don't I just wait for that? No need to jump ahead of myself. So we'll ask you this question, Troy. What temperature do you keep the pit at while you're cooking your chicken?
250.
And you're putting the chicken on at 8:30?
8:30.
Now, I'm no scientist, but that seems like it would take a substantial amount of time. Or the chicken would be done well before turn-in time if you're putting it on at 8:30.
That's what it seems.
All right. You know better than me, that's for sure.
That's not what you told me, Troy.
You got to realize, you know, I'm using one pit most of the time, so the pit's loaded, the FE's loaded with all four meats there for a little bit. And so... You know, I've got to sort of use a temperature that works for all the meats there at one time.
Gotcha. All right, Joe, what temperature are you keeping the pit at?
Well, I guess I actually start off at 250 degrees. As soon as I put my thighs in, I turn a pit up to 400 and I let it rock. And I cook my thighs in 33 minutes.
33 minutes and 10 hours. For Troy. All right, and we go over to Kelly. what temperature are you keeping your pit at?
We're running 400 for same right at 30 minutes.
Wow.
Right now, I mean, it seems like Joe and Kelly have tremendously short cook times, but anybody during the cooking process here of the chicken, do you open up the cooker and do any type of basting or mopping of the chicken to add layers of flavor? And we'll start back with Troy.
No, I don't do any of that. That's too much work.
Joe?
No, I'm just 33 minutes to 34 minutes. I open my pit, check temp on my thighs. Usually they're done, and they come off and get ready to be sauced and put back on the pit.
All right, Kelly, any mopping at all during that short cook?
We spritz them a little bit as they're cooking, and that's really about it. Come off in 30 minutes and sauce them. They go back on for about 3-4 minutes with that sauce on there in that hot pit, and they go in the box.
Is the spray like some type of apple juice and something or other concoction, or just water, or what are you using there?
It's a good concoction.
Very specific. I appreciate that.
Man, I tell you.
What internal temperature are you shooting for to finish the chicken? And we'll start with Joe.
Well, that's one thing I'm not going to tell you. Everybody's wanting to hold back, but
so now you're going to start?
You guys got to give up a little bit more. I'm giving up a lot.
That's the fun of the round table is, you know, nobody has to pay $800 for a class. You guys, you can just give up all your secrets for free. It's great. Yeah. So you're just putting it in there for time. You're not really looking for a specific internal temperature, Joe?
Well, I'm looking for a specific internal temperature, and I know what that is, but I really don't want to give that temperature up.
All right, Troy, are you pleading the fifth as well on this?
I'm just shooting for the USDA minimum guidelines on chicken doneness. Right.
So for chicken thighs, that's 180 degrees, so we'll put Troy down at 180
actually,
degrees.
Actually, no. The USDA has changed that. Everything, they've gone away from the guidelines from dark meat and breast meat. Now everything is at 165 degrees.
So what do you think that's going to do to the poultry community when they put those self-timing or those self thermometers in the breast meat of the turkey that's set to go off at 180 degrees. That's probably going to have a huge recall, right?
That's right.
Outrageous. Kelly.
Why do you think nobody can cook chicken?
There you go.
I'm a happy homeowner with those things.
You have a specific internal temperature you're shooting for, Kelly?
Actually, we're shooting for closer to 175, 180.
All right, and I believe you kind of alluded to this, so we'll just go ahead and take you back here real quick. Obviously, when you're taking the chicken out, or you just go ahead and applying the sauce or glaze to your chicken before you put them back on there to finish?
They set on a rack in that cooker so we can pull them out and sauce the bottoms and sauce tops, and then they go right back in on that rack for just a few minutes, and off they go.
All right, Troy, you setting any type of sauce or glaze on your chicken before you put it in the box?
Yeah, but just very, very briefly, though.
Joe?
Yeah, I put my Smoky Mountain Smokers barbecue sauce on them, and then I stick them back on for 3 minutes, and then pull them off, and they go straight to the box.
All right, so the glaze that you guys are putting on, it sounds like Joe, as he said, is putting on his sauce. But to Troy and Kelly, is your glaze something that is completely different from any type of finishing sauce that you would put on the chicken, or is it kind of one and the same? And we'll go back to Kelly.
Actually, it's the same sauce they use in ribs and pork.
Troy?
It's the same, and I'm only applying it one time, and I only use that glaze for chicken.
All right, so is there anything else during the cooking process that you do specifically that we haven't talked about here, and we'll start back with Troy?
Not that I can think of.
Joe?
No, nothing other than what I said.
And Kelly, anything else you're doing during the cook that we haven't covered yet?
Nope, nothing else yet.
Hi, Greg, I did think of one thing.
Go ahead.
I eat my gravy and biscuits about 9 o'clock, right after the chicken goes on. That's an important part of my Saturday morning.
Yeah. Wash down with a ice cold Budweiser. All right. Anybody else? Do you guys take part in the morning shots that I've heard so much about at competitions? Is that a big thing for you guys, or is that a little bit more overrated? And we'll start with Troy.
No, I don't do that. I don't have a drink until after the contest is over.
Joe, morning shots for you?
I've done it, but very seldom, and I'm like Troy. I'm going to drink anything. It's going to be after I do my last turn in.
Kelly, shots for the hell of it?
10:30, Saturday morning, usually at our place.
What are you sucking down?
What's that?
What are you sucking down?
Gentleman Jack, of course.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't get any better than that. That's a fine wake you up at 10:30 in the morning. All right, so let's do this. We're going to go ahead and get caught up here on the clock, and we'll come back with the finishing or the post-cook events here. So you guys go ahead and hang back one more second, and we'll be back in about 3.5 minutes. I will step back. Thanks again. Again, if you don't know who's on the panel tonight, maybe you just jumped in. It's Troy Black from LearnToQ.com, Joe Amore from Smoky Mountain Smokers, and Kelly Wirtz from Four Legs Up Barbecue, three of the top teams from last year in the chicken category, the Kansas City Barbecue Society. When we come back, we'll talk about the post-cook events. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show.
Big, 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 big name interviews. Big name interviews. Coverage of competition barbecue. Competition barbecue. And the only host willing to give his honest opinion on all topics in the world of barbecue. It's the Barbecue Central Show. Barbecue Central Show.
All right, we are back. It is the Barbecue Central Show. I'm your program host, Greg Rempe. This is a special edition of the show. It's the Barbecue Chicken Roundtable. You're listening to the Barbecue Central Radio Network. This portion of the show brought to you by the good folks at the Barbecue Guru, makers of automatic pit temperature control devices, not to mention a host of other products that make your barbecue and grilling life easier. Two ways to find them: on the interwebs at thebbqguru.com, or you can call them toll-free on the telephone at 800-288-GURU. It's good folks at the Barbecue Guru. Don't forget, coming up just past the top of the hour, 10 o'clock, 10:05, be joined by President of the Kansas City Barbecue Society, Mike Lake. After dark, so stay tuned for that. Prize giveaways after dark as well. But we'll go ahead and get back to the chicken conversation here with Troy, Joe, and Kelly. Guys, thanks for hanging with me through the break again. So we have the chicken is all ready. It's been temped out properly, whatever temperature it is that you take it to. And we're going to start to do the post-cook events. So, you know, as far as the box is concerned, take a lot of time to set up that box. It sounds like Troy actually might be one of the few that actually set up his box that might be relegated to some of the ladies that are out there with their husbands or male friends on the circuit. So, Troy, chicken box take a lot of time to set up than other meats, or box is a box?
A box is not a box. It doesn't take a long time, though. I do them, the boxes, on Friday evening, and they go in the refrigerator. So I don't have to do that on Saturday. But, you know, I guess the best advice I can give on the box, I mean, it's got to look clean and not raggedy. You know, I'm using lettuce in the chicken box.
Joe, a lot of time to put together a chicken box, and are you putting green?
Yeah, we do the putting green. My wife and I build our boxes on Friday afternoon. As soon as we get the boxes, they go in the refrigerator and they're ready to go Saturday morning. I'm with Troy. We spend a lot of time making sure that our parsley is nice and clean around the edges, and it's not trying to cover up the chicken thighs, so they can actually see the meat to judge it. And it's important our boxes look good. It's just the start of the judging.
What about you, Kelly? A lot of time to put together a box, and are you a lettuce guy, a parsley guy?
Parsley and lettuce. We do use both boxes. We'll put in boxes together on Friday night as well. And I cook a lot of by myself too. So when you're doing that, as Troy well knows, you got to have them done Friday night. Saturday morning doesn't leave you much time to get them done. Looking for a nice parsley. A nice green ring around the outside edge of that box. Don't overkill it with parsley, though. Just make a nice green border around that, just like a picture frame, like you're going to frame any other picture. It always looks better with a nice, neat appearing frame around it. If I do a good job on my boxes on Friday night, Basically, those thighs go in there, and I, you know, it. We may stick three or four sprigs of parsley back in that box just to cover up anything we need to, or fill in any holes that I may happen to kick around, and off it goes.
And so I was a little remiss in not asking this first right off the bat, but after the chicken comes out of the cooker, do you guys allot any type of rest time for the chicken before you actually put it in the box, or does it go right from the cooker and right into the box? We'll go back to Kelly for that.
It comes out there on the table. We pick our six out of the eight that we've got and goes in the box, and the box is closed and off it goes.
What about you, Joe? You letting the chicken hang out a little bit before you put it in the box?
It usually hangs out about 5 minutes, about, and we actually don't put our chicken in the box till about 11:50.
What about you, Troy? Let it hang?
Sometimes not. It depends on what's going on with the temps on it. When it does hang out, it goes in the Cambro. And to keep the warmth on it. The worst thing you can do is turn it into cold chicken.
So one of the things that fascinates me is that, you know, if you're cooking a lot of ribs or you're cooking a lot of pieces of chicken, how do you actually go about picking out the pieces of chicken that you're going to be putting in the box? And we'll start with Kelly.
Well, and that's part of the reason we're only cooking eight, because it makes that decision a whole lot easier usually. One or two that, when something happened to them, they don't look right, whatever reason it is, there's usually at least one that's kicked out right off the bat, and then we kind of start sorting the rest of them as to how I want to put them in the box, what they look like. Is there a mark on one that I want to put that one in the back, or for some reason, is it a little oversized? I might want to plan out and put that one in the center of the box with a couple smaller ones beside it. Just looking at those kind of issues, and it really doesn't take very long. It's just look at them and pick them out and sort them out the way you want to put them in and go.
Are you tasting some before you put them in the box?
Nope. None of the chicken ever gets tasted until after the box is probably there and getting judged.
All right, Joe, how are you picking out your pieces of chicken?
Well, we got 14 thighs, and I strive to get them all trimmed up pretty much the same size. And so I would say 98% of the time when they come out, they're all looking pretty much about the same. And so I just pick out the six I think looks the best out of the 14 and get them in the box and let them go, and then my wife runs the box, and when she gets back, she actually tastes the chicken and tells me what she thinks, and then we're just on to the next category.
So you're not actually tasting the chicken until it's already been submitted in for judging?
It doesn't do you any good to taste it at that point. It's going to be what it is.
So you don't taste up front before?
No, I never taste mine up front. It's in the box. It's gone. When she gets back, I'm already getting ready for ribs. She gets back, she tastes it and tells me what she thinks, and that's it.
All right. What about you, Troy? How are you picking out your thighs?
I think it's generally a good idea not to taste your chicken before it goes in the box. Most judges don't want a piece of chicken with a bite mark, a bite out of it. I'm like Kelly. We call this chicken.
Hey, Troy, hold on one second. I'm getting an incredible amount of static on you for some reason. Can you hang up real quick and just call right back in?
If you'll,
yes,
I'll see how.
All right. Okay. Wow. Were you guys picking up the static there on that end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can hear it.
All right. Let me do this, guys. I'm going to have to hang up on everybody. I'll call everybody right back in 1 second.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. All right. We almost had it.
cracker. All right.
Hey, all right. It's all better now. All right, everybody's back.
There you go, Troy. Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead and finish that question there, Troy.
Okay. I think I'm like Kelly. You know, we all call this chicken before we do anything to it. So the time it gets finished off the cooker, there's not a lot of decisions to be made.
So I shouldn't ask this question, but it continues to fascinate me. Is it just the chicken that you guys aren't tasting during the competition, or will you not taste every other meat that you're turning in, Troy?
I don't taste it till it's already turned in.
What about you, Joe?
Well, on chicken, we don't taste it till after it's turned in. I mean, ribs, we do taste our ribs to figure out which ones we want, which slab we want to turn in. For turning in on pork, we don't really have an issue with it. Brisket, we check it before we turn it in.
Kelly, any taste testing, or is it all just get turned in first and taste later?
excuse me. Ribs, you know, of course, we're checking ribs, see which slab we're going to pull out of. Pork, we're tasting as we're pulling to get that one done, see if there's any adjustments we need to make to it before it goes in. And the same with brisket. We're tasting it to know whether we've got any adjusting to do with it.
All right, so after you pick everything out, do you do any type of adjustment with seasonings or sauce before the box is closed and it's ran over to the judge's table, Troy?
No, I don't do any of that.
Joe?
No, I don't do any of that on chicken.
And Kelly?
Nothing on chicken. Now, the rest of them, yeah, if there may be a little bit of stuff we'll do to it, just... depending on what it's tasting like, if it's not where we want it, or if it's something happens that's really off, we may be trying to cover something up too.
All right, so that's going to kind of conclude the post cook session here. One thing that I did want to cover specifically with some of the time that we have left here, you know, inevitably you hear from people that are either you know, kind of novices or intermediates in competition barbecue, the one thing that they seem to have an issue with their chicken is the fact that there's this term out there called bite-through skin, which, of course, probably shouldn't be confused with crispy skin, which is what I make on my cookers at home. But judges seem to be looking for this bite-through skin, and if you achieve this, that this will allow you to get farther and farther into the higher ranks of whatever competition you're at, given your wherever you're at during the course of the weekend. So, Troy, let me start with you. Everybody talking about the bite-through skin. In your estimation, what are some of the keys to achieving bite-through skin on as regular a basis as possible?
Let me say this. Up until about a year and a half ago, I had gone nearly 2 years without a top 10 finish in chicken. A year and a half ago, I discovered the secret to life with bite-through chicken. And it is not a secret I'm giving up, but I just want to stress how important bite-through skin is. Now, there are two theories out there, crispy chicken and bite-through chicken. You got to have one or the other, but you got to be able to bite through it without pulling the skin off.
Would you say you've had more success with crispy chicken or with bite-through chicken?
Both. I've had both. I've done the hot and fast method. It doesn't work with me when I've got one cooker with me, but both of them work. But I think they're apples and oranges, though.
All right, Joe, in your wisdom, what can you pass along to the people listening as far as being able to kind of consistently achieve this bite-through skin magic that everybody keeps talking about?
Well, we started cooking in 05, and I don't know. We achieved a bite-through chicken then, and we've had it ever since. I'm not going to really give up my secret to that, but I do think it's important, like Troy's saying. I've never believed in this thing about having crispy skin for the simple reason when you put it in that styrofoam box and the time it gets to the judge's table and they open it up and they judge it, I don't hardly believe that skin's still going to be crispy when it gets to that judge's table anyway. So, we have a soft skin. It's just it's always bite through. other than that, I'm not going to give up my way of doing it.
You guys suck. I just want to say that up front. Kelly, go ahead and give us your wisdom as far as bite through skin is concerned.
Well, first off, chicken was meant to be fried in the first place. I'm
yes.
still trying to figure out why we're even trying to barbecue.
Yes! I love that answer.
As with Joe, you can get crisp skin, but by the time it gets in that box, gets steamed back up again, by the time you get it in there, it's just going to turn to shoe leather anyway. So you really got to go for that soft bite through skin. No judge in the world out there at any contest wants that old chin skin thing where you pull take a bite of chicken and that skin comes off and whaps you in the bottom of the chin, and then you're trying to lick the seasoning and the sauce off your chin anyway. But yeah, getting that bite through skin is the what you got to work for, and I'm going to suck too. I'm not going to tell you either.
Man, I'm on a roll. 0 for 3.
3 All right. for 3.
Great job. Well, 0 for 3 or 3 for 3, I guess, depending on how you look at it. Yeah. All right, so everybody that tuned in for the bite-through skin portion of finally putting them over the top and getting grand championship, guess what? Suck it. All right, final question here before we go to the parting shot segment. You look through some of the KCBS notes beginning part of this year. There was talk, perhaps there was even a vote as far as letting propane cookers into competition circuit. Myself, never competing and never having any desire to compete, I don't see any problem with it. But we'll go to the experts, the professionals, and we'll start with Troy. Are you for or against propane cookers, and why either way?
Well, I'm for it. When I was on the board at the KCBS, I actually made an attempt to push that rule through. I've got absolutely no problem with people coming in and competing on propane cookers. With the advances in technology that we three are using, the rules are set to keep people from having an unfair advantage. And I don't see any unfair advantage that those guys would have. And the argument is, well, it's not traditional. Well, if we want to go back to tradition, let's issue shovels at the gate coming into the contest and dig a hole.
Joe, for or against propane cookers?
I'm with Troy 100%. I just think that if we want to build this sport and let it grow bigger and bigger, let anybody that cook on whatever they want to cook on, it doesn't matter to me one way or another.
Kelly, you like the gas or not a gas fan?
It doesn't make any difference to me. If they want to cook on a gas grill and throw some wood chips in, if that's what they want to do, fine, bring it on.
All right, so Kelly, go ahead and pontificate here for a second. Do you think that's something that might happen here within the next year or two?
I wouldn't think it's going to happen within the next year. A few years down the road, I don't know what's going to happen with it. The only thing I know is I'm too out of shape to dig very much of a hole to cook it way back when. So that's why I have the physique I do.
Joe, do you think that you could we would be seeing gas cookers here, in the next year or two?
Well, I hope we do. I mean, I think it'll be good for barbecue. I think we can get a lot more people involved in it.
And Troy, you've been in the BOD. Is that something you think you could see happening in a year or two? Propane cookers?
Not with the current board. There's got to be a couple of changes on the board to make that happen. I think the votes are, I don't know. I think the votes are close, could be close with the current board, but there's not enough votes there to make it happen right now.
All right. Let's go ahead and move to the parting shots segment. This is more for self-promotion, of course. Certainly appreciate you guys coming on tonight and sharing what very minuscule amounts of information that you were willing to give up tonight. So we'll go over to Kelly Wirtz. And Kelly, where are you going to be competing? What would you like to promote? The stage is yours.
We'll be in Little Rock this weekend, loading up, heading out Thursday morning for that one. Heading down to Rio Rancho, New Mexico, down there by Albuquerque the weekend after that, and then we're full swing into barbecue contest season. As I think you know, Greg, we are working on a new upright pellet cooker, similar to the FEs and that shape. Still got a little bit of work to do on them, but things are rolling pretty well with them. We've actually, with two of them out in the last two contests, three top 10 briskets, two top 10 porks, and top 10 rib call, and neither one of them has seen a chicken in yet. So feeling pretty good about that. So kind of be on the lookout for those here later on this summer, and we'll be cooking on it in Little Rock and from here on out this summer. So come by and take a look at them.
Joe, floor is yours. Anything you'd like to promote? You want to thank me? Whatever you'd like, go ahead.
Well, I appreciate what you do for barbecue, Greg, and everybody that's listening can go to our website at www.smokymountainsmokers.com and try our sauces and our rubs. Our spicy came in first at the MBBQ convention in Memphis, and Chipotle rub came in second. And once again, I just appreciate everything you're doing for barbecue.
And we'll end it up here with Troy.
And Greg, I also want to thank you for having us on. I've got a new DVD out. It released this past Monday. Actually, I guess it was yesterday, called Real Barbecue Know-How. It's geared toward the backyard barbecuer. We cover pork, brisket, and ribs on the DVD. I've also got my first book coming out. It's due out in April. It's something I did with Southern Living Magazine over the fall and winter. The Big Book of Barbecue will be at all your Barnes and Nobles and Books a Million. But you can go to learntoq.com. That's the number 2 and the letter Q to order the DVD, and we'll have information on the book on the website soon.
Right, and is everybody going out to Smoke on the Water this coming weekend?
I'll be there. Leaving tomorrow afternoon.
Joe, you going to be there?
No, we're taking off this weekend.
And Kelly, you going to be there?
We're going to be there, and I hear that Troy has some new Western apparel that he's going to be displaying for everybody at Little Rock, from what I understand.
I do, and I'll tell you the funny story when I get there about going into the Western store and telling those cowgirls to turn me into a cowboy.
that would have to be funny.
All right.
It was.
So there's Kelly Wirtz from Four Legs Up Barbecue, Joe Amore from Smoky Mountain Smokers, Troy Black, learntoq.com. Guys, certainly appreciate you coming on tonight. All kidding aside and sharing all the information here on the Chicken Roundtable for you guys that are going to be competing next week. Good luck to you. And we'll look for all three of you again here on future shows. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Thanks so
Thank
much.
You much, Greg.
All right, take care.
All right, guys. Take care. There they are. Troy Black, learntoq.com. Joe Amore, Smoky Mountain Smokers. Kelly Wirtz, Four Legs Up Barbecue. Stingy little punks with their information. Check out their respective websites and so forth. Another great roundtable down. And don't forget, we have the pork roundtable coming up next week with Little Pigtown, Butcher Barbecue, and theslabs.com. So stay tuned for that next Tuesday. We're going to step away for news. We'll come back with Mike Lake, president of the Kansas City Barbecue Society, coming up next. Stand by. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show.